Let's see. Oh, tonight. Yeah. Rob Fairbanks, known as the Res Reporter, tonight.
The Res Reporter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The one I'm thinking
yeah,
of?
Yeah, doing the weather reports from Highway 2. Yeah.
Not much traffic today.
Yep.
If you're waking up right now and a little foggy, we'll give you that report. It is foggy, partly sunny with highs 25 to 30, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, a little bit of snow, maybe a half an inch tonight expected with lows tonight from 8 to 11. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 in Brainerd and on your smart speaker. We are a people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Burger night tonight with Curl Masabi from 5:30 to 8 at the Eveleth Curling Club. A chance to learn the sport in a welcoming environment. Be sure to bring in clean athletic shoes and wear comfortable clothing. That's just good advice for life.
Yeah.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. The ICE agent who fatally shot a Minneapolis woman Wednesday has been identified, and the FBI has barred state law enforcement agencies from investigating the death. Chelsea Perkins has more.
Jonathan Ross is the same agent who was dragged by a vehicle and injured in June of last year during an ICE operation in Bloomington, according to court records reviewed by the Minnesota Star Tribune. The Star Tribune says little other public information on Ross is available as of its reporting on Thursday afternoon. Governor Tim Walz is blasting the FBI for forcing out the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension from the investigation into the death of Renee Nicole Good. He says the likelihood of a fair outcome feels very difficult.
There's a BCA Force Investigations Unit that was created by the legislature, by the people of Minnesota, to provide an independent, consistent, and trusted mechanism for investigating the use of force incidents involving law enforcement officers.
And he evoked George Orwell's novel 1984 in relation to the federal government's version of the killing, which conflicts with video footage and eyewitness accounts. Walz commended the thousands who attended the Minneapolis vigil Wednesday night for Good, who leaves behind a wife and child. The governor also pointed to Minnesota's place in history, offering one of the first regiments for the Union Army during the Civil War.
The nation's looking to us to hold the line on democracy, to hold the line on decency, to hold the line on accountability, and more than that, to rise up as neighbors and simply say, we can look out for one another, we can have differences, but we've proved to the world going on 250 years that our democracy could hold.
8th District Congressman Pete Stauber reacted to Walz's remarks on social media, writing, quote, in a time when Minnesotans need calm, reasonable, and steady leadership, Tim Walz threatens to use our National Guard sons and daughters to wage a civil war against the federal government. Minnesotans deserve so much better than Tim Walz. Protests against ICE and vigils in Good's memory are taking place across the country. A vigil is planned in Bemidji on Friday night. Chelsea Perkins, KAXE News.
The Hibbing School District will soon be without a superintendent and a business manager. The school board will have an emergency meeting 11 a.m. Friday to interview and select an acting superintendent after posting the position internally. Superintendent Rick Aldrich resigned at Wednesday's board meeting. Though his resignation isn't effective until April 14th, Aldrich is on medical leave until April. Business manager Alex Kaiser resigned in December, effective January 15th. The vacancies come as the district begins planning $2 million in budget cuts. Aldrich is not leaving because of the district's financial situation, but because of a health condition, and Kaiser resigned to take a position in the Grand Rapids School District. The Minnesota Department of Health is aligning its immunization guidance with Professional Medical Association recommendations rather than the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC overhauled the childhood immunization schedule earlier this week to reduce the number of routinely recommended vaccines. The agency used to recommend vaccination against 17 infectious diseases. The new guidance drops that number to 11, recommending only high-risk groups get the remainder of the shots. State Commissioner of Health Dr. Brooke Cunningham says the change does not reflect the best available science. While the immunization schedule will no longer align with the CDC, the guidance itself remains the same. Minnesota will continue to recommend children routinely receive vaccines to protect from hepatitis, bacterial meningitis, rotavirus, and the flu, COVID, and RSV. Two northern Minnesota sheriffs announced they will seek re-election in November. Itasca County Sheriff Joe Dasovich cites the accomplishments of his first term and his wish to continue building on that work. Beltrami County Sheriff Jason Riggs is also seeking re-election for a second term. He cites his two-decade law enforcement career of serving the county and its communities. Wadena County Sheriff Michael Carr announced Wednesday he was ending his 32-year law enforcement career, opting not to seek a seventh term. Carr says the office is a turnkey operation and well-positioned for the future. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
And I won't blame you for saying no.
That make you feel better?
I guess.
Oh, no, huh? Human, yeah. Brandi Carlile. Her latest release is out. It's Returning to Myself as one of the top albums of the year. You can still find our top albums, top stories, looking back at 2025 at our website, kaxe.org. There's lots of things going on in our region. We've got Marshall Helmberger coming up next with the Border News Roundup. We want to let you know some things that you can do on Saturday. You can try out snowshoes and kick sleds from 10 to 2 at Lake Bemidji State Park. The park's artists and residents are wrapping up their final projects, and you can visit with them during this time as well. Light snacks are provided.
Minnesota Discovery Center in Hibbing hosts a screening of the season 6 premiere of All Creatures Great and Small on Saturday, January 10th from 1 to 3. And the Grand Rapids Players presents Insomniacs Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Ives Studio Theater at the Rife Center. See several short scenes which have been written within the past 24 hours.
The exhibit Minwachi Mo Winnun Good Stories opens at Watermark Art Center today. The exhibit highlights community members who have served the Natewash community for many years. The reception for the exhibit will be Saturday, February 14th. We'll hear more about it on Area Voices with Andrew DeZingle coming up on Wednesday mornings.
And the Buck Lake Improvement Club has their monthly breakfast buffet Saturday, January 11th from 9 to noon at their community center, 12 miles north of Nashwalk on Highway 65. Enjoy a blizzard of flavors. Whoa.
Did you see the event coming up next Tuesday, John?
I'm not sure.
You can build a cardboard sled Tuesday, January 13th at King Elementary in Deer River from 3:30 to 5.
Oh, that's right.
The sleds can be used in the second annual Cardboard Classic Saturday, January 17th, and the supplies will be provided. What do you think of that?
I think it's a wonderful idea, but I think it's hard on the rump.
Yeah.
Not much cushion on a cardboard.
It's maybe not for adults, right?
Maybe not.
Entrepreneurs on Tap Learning Series begins next Wednesday, January 14th at Last Turn Brew Pub in Brainerd at 5 p.m. There's a different topic each month now through May. Find a full schedule at northcentralsbdc.com.
And on January 15th, Happy Dancing Turtle invites all ages to participate in their winter bingo scavenger hunt. Look for 24 items on your bingo card with a special focus on animal tracks. Find a registration link and more details at happydancingturtle.org.
Yeah, you can do that now until the 15th. It's really a cool thing, John. I don't know if you've looked at it, but it's like you get to mark off what you might see in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You can take
Sounds
it.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it's a good way to, I don't know, make yourself learn a little bit. And we were talking about it. You can hear the Season Watch podcast coming up this weekend. And Charlie and I were talking about that might be a fun thing to do, to tell yourself, I got to learn a couple more birds this year.
Yep.
And be intentional about that kind of stuff. We all know we feel a little better when we see something and we can go, oh, that's a pileated woodpecker. Mm-hmm. And like naming
very cool
animals really makes a change. Also featured on the Season Watch podcast is Chad Kaditz, middle school teacher, science teacher from Little Falls. He's part of the Phenology Network. And because we didn't have student reports this week, they were just getting back to school, we got to talk to him. So he does a chalk drawing every week of animals and birds, and they're amazing. You can see it on their Instagram page. Go to Little Falls Phenology, search for that on Instagram, and you'll see it there. We have some of the photos of the chalkboards at kaxe.org.
Sounds good. Get out there. Get outside. That's the best place to be right now. Right?
That's right. We are expecting 25 to 30 for today. Northwest winds 5 to 10. Chance of snow this afternoon. Gusting up to 25 and could be more snow tonight, but less than half an inch accumulation expected. Mostly cloudy, lows 8 to 11. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, highs 14 to 19. It's a little disappointing. I'd like a little more snow.
Yeah, we haven't had much snow this year. You know, I haven't even used once I used snowshoes. I mean, just boots. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Want to thank Veterans Mental Health Crisis Response Team of Itasca County. This crisis intervention service is a program of first call for help 211 and provides free crisis assessments, stabilization services, referrals, and resourcing to veterans and their families who are in crisis. Trained providers are available to serve fellow veterans 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by dialing 211.
It is time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings at this time, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger, editor and publisher of the Timberjay newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Good morning, Marshall. Thanks for being here.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, good to have you back. Good to talk about some of the news you've been covering. Let's start out with the Tower Ambulance Director who was recently terminated. There is a story there. It's more than just a termination.
Yeah, for sure. I know we've talked about Dina Soikkanen, our ambulance director here in Tower, who'd been in that position for several years now. And she was paralyzed in a freak accident. She was actually sitting up on a dunk tank, and the thing malfunctioned, and it threw her backwards, and she fell from, you know, the perch on that dump tank, and she was paralyzed from the waist down. And is obviously confined to a wheelchair at this point. And the city, you know, of course, had to decide what to do. I mean, as part of her job as ambulance director, she does, or at least has in the past, you know, gone out on emergency runs. She is an EMT, and, you know, that was part of her job, was to go on runs. They do have other EMTs, of course, in the city. But in either case, the council opted to terminate her from her position, even though she had requested accommodation. And, you know, much of her job she could have done, certainly even with her current condition, because a lot of it's administrative. You know, I mean, you're doing planning. A lot of paperwork goes into this job. You know, there's billing. There's payroll, you know, just a lot of different things that, you know, she could have done and had wanted to do and had requested that accommodation, but the city decided against that. And, you know, and she's had issues with some of the members of the city council for a number of years. You know, it's more of a kind of a personality difference, I think. And I think in part of because of that, she had opted a few years ago to join a union. I think the council probably didn't like that. So now by, I think, discharging her, they probably can get rid of the union contract for her. And the union, I should say, has filed a grievance over this termination. It's hard to say where that's going to go. I think there's also other avenues that, you know, she may be pursuing, you know, other types of complaints, you know, possibly to the Human Rights Department, things like that, for, you know, violations of ADA and issues like that. I mean, we'll have to see where this goes. I know she was frustrated and disappointed, you know, in the council's decision. It was a 3-0 decision. One of the council members was absent, and then another happens to be her brother, and he decided to abstain from the decision. But, clearly, I think a decision that probably will not be very popular in the community. I know there was a fundraiser for Dina back in November, and there was a massive turnout. You know, so a lot of people are certainly sympathetic because, you know, she's obviously served the community for many years. Even before she was ambulance director, she was an EMT. I've seen her at work, you know, on scenes, and, you know, she's very good with patients. So it's a real loss to have lost her as an EMT, but, you know, still she wanted to be able to serve the community, and now she won't have that opportunity given this council decision.
So not at all to do with, like, her performance. Basically, she can't walk anymore.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. There was never any discussion by the council regarding, you know, her performance, just that she's paralyzed.
All right. Yeah. This is not the end of this story, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Let's move on to a legal story. This one has to do with a campground on Lake Vermilion for disabled vets. Why the lawsuit? What's happening here?
This has just been an ongoing saga. I think we've been reporting on this for at least a couple of years now. And this was a case where a business, which is now a nonprofit, called Ruffin It Incorporated, which is owned by Christine Wierabeck. She had originally gone to St. Louis County, said she wanted to open up a campground on a remote part of Lake Vermilion. And she wanted to have a campground for disabled vets, she said. And she had asked the county to change the zoning at the site, which would not allow a campground currently, and then wanted a conditional use permit for her campground. Well, the county planning commission opted to deny her request for a change in the zoning. They said it would have constituted spot zoning. They said it would have constituted spot zoning. And so because they didn't change the zoning, they didn't even bother to take up the conditional use permit, since it wouldn't have been, you know, allowed regardless, even with the conditional use permit. So that seemed to be the end of it, until this Christine Wierabeck decided she was going to go ahead and build it anyway. And so she set up a number of sites. They're kind of these tent platforms with tents over them, kind of these white canvas tents. You've maybe seen pictures of these. It's called like glamping, I think. And she set up some of these and ostensibly began, you know, making them available to disabled vets. We haven't really seen any evidence of that. She does have a website where she, you know, makes these available, and she had decided to go with a nonprofit organization rather than a private business. And I think she's soliciting donations from, you know, the public, and then is offering the camping stays for free. And at least that's what she's alleging here. But so the county eventually, after much, you know, criticism from neighbors in that area, you know, cabin owners and, you know, lake homeowners on Lake Vermilion, you know, who were concerned about, you know, this development taking place on this site and, you know, apparently traffic going back and forth. And so the county finally said, okay, you know, we're going to have to take her to court and, you know, enforce this and tell her she's not in compliance with the ordinance. Well, that went in the county's favor, but now she's come back with a federal lawsuit, and it's a 119-page document full of all kinds of allegations. It seems to be heavy on charges and very light on any evidence. And it seems to be kind of everything but the kitchen sink sort of a lawsuit. And it's charging federal civil rights violations. It's charging violations of her constitutional due process, violations of the ADA. And this involves more than 30 plaintiffs, including Beattie Township, St. Louis County, and names, you know, all the members of the county board, all the members of the planning commission, a whole bunch of other county officials. You know, it was just a doorstop kind of a lawsuit. I don't know what's going to happen with it. I suspect it probably won't get very far, but it's certainly something that the county's not going to be able to ignore, and it certainly muddies the waters and is going to keep this situation probably unresolved for a considerable amount of time. And I know that's going to be frustrating to folks in the area.
No, you said it was a campground for disabled veterans. The photo that you have on your website, timberjay.com, it doesn't look real accessible to me. It looks kind of high and rocky.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's not designed for anybody in a wheelchair. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm not exactly sure what kind of disabilities they're,
sure,
you know, aiming for here. But, yeah, there's a lot of questions about this. And now that it's gone, you know, to be a nonprofit and she's taken donations, I mean, there's unfortunately, a lot of nonprofits that get donations for things. And you kind of wonder if, you know, if they're really being used for what, you know, they purport. So
yeah,
There's a lot of questions about this particular facility.
Well, I have another question. I need to know the story behind this picture of a lynx with its tongue hanging out on your website. It's attributed to you, so you saw this lynx.
I took that photo, as a matter of fact. We had one of the most kind of fun experiences in the 40-plus years we've lived up here. And we had a Canada lynx that showed up, I think it was December 29th, and he stayed in our yard for a week. I had probably two or three weeks before that, I found a roadkill deer along Highway 169, and I've been known to throw them in the back of the pickup and bring them home just to leave out for the critters. And it usually attracts something that's interesting. But in all these years, I had never seen a Canada lynx come in. But this one showed up. At first looked out the window, I saw this cat. I thought, oh, it must be a bobcat, because we'd had bobcats before on roadkills I'd put out. But then as soon as I picked up my binoculars and looked, it was like, oh, my God, it's a lynx. You know, it had all the telltale marks, the big ear tufts, those gigantic, almost comically oversized feet, the long legs, and the black-tipped tail. Those are all the hallmarks of a lynx. And he started in on that carcass, and for the next week, he really didn't go very far away from that carcass. I mean, he was visible almost all the time during the day, unless he had, bedded down nearby, and sometimes you couldn't see him if he was in the brush, because they really do blend in. The vast majority of the time, he was either eating, sitting around, or kind of milling around the carcass, guarding it. Or he was trying to bury it. It was fun to watch him, stretching out his big paw and scrape in snow to, try to cover up this carcass. Cause I'm sure he was worried, that once wolves found it, his meal ticket, could be brought to a quick end. It was fun because we had lots of folks over. People were, excited at the prospect of seeing a lynx. And, of course, everybody who came over thought, oh, that lynx isn't going to be there. But, of course, it was. I mean, everybody who came over got to watch the lynx for quite a while. And it was not far from the house. I mean, I probably had the carcass out about 40 feet from the house. But, when he wasn't right there, he'd be walking around the yard. He'd sit underneath the bird feeders and look. He was interested in the birds. He would walk all around the house. He was on the front porch at one point. He'd go down the front walk. He'd walk around the chicken coop. He was just hanging out. Like I said, he was there for a full week. And we were thinking it could go on for weeks, because a deer carcass could probably keep a lynx going for a month, I would think. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, on day seven, that night, wolves showed up, which is what I figured would probably end this, and they kind of ripped the hide off the entire deer, ate most of it, and then dragged the carcass off a ways. And I went out actually in the morning once I saw this. I went out to gather some DNA samples because the Forest Service had indicated they were interested in that, because they do DNA analysis of lynx scat in the area. Oh. And so I went out to gather some of that, which was no problem. There was plenty of it there. And then as I was out there, I noticed, there's the carcass not too far away. But the cat was already back on it because the wolves had moved off by this point. So I decided, well, I'm going to go drag that carcass back and I'll see how close I can get to this cat. I tell you what, I was within 15 feet of that thing before he finally looked at me and said, I think that's close enough. And he ran off a few steps, got behind some, balsam fir trees, some little ones, and then watched me while I grabbed the carcass and dragged it back to the original spot. And within 10 minutes, he was right back on it eating. So, his complete detachment from us. It was a typical cat, very aloof. You know, in fact, it was interesting to watch because, you know, it was like at some point you could easily forget you were watching a lynx versus a house cat. I mean, the way it would stretch, it would get up, it's do its downward dog, it would arch its back, you know, all that, all those typical cat stretches. It would sit and lick its paws. In fact, it was very interested in the fine fur on the underside of its paws. We really got some good looks at that, you know, and that's what keeps them up, is having, you know, on the snow, is having that fine fur underneath there. And those feet are just comically big.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, we really got to see all these different behaviors in the lynx. I mean, a lot of times I hear, you know, people see a lynx, it's maybe on a trail cam, or it's maybe, you know, crossing a road or something. But to have a whole week to be able to just observe a lynx, you know, at close range, was really a unique opportunity, and really, you know, kind of brought home that this is a great place to live.
Yeah. Yeah. We all need a little bit of that. Any issues with your dog or the chickens or anything?
Well, the chickens, I mean, the chicken coop I made, it's like Fort Knox. I mean, I don't think any predator could ever get in there. So I wasn't worried at all. Our dog Loki, I mean, we did have to keep him, you know, and it turns out we really didn't have to, but, you know, we decided, you know, we'd keep him on a leash when he was in the yard. Mm-hmm. So we'd take him out in the morning to do his business. And he was wondering what's going on, because normally, and we live out in the woods, you know, it's normally just let him out the door.
Right.
And so if we'd go to the car, we'd put him on a leash before we'd take him to the car if we were going into town or whatever. And he knew the cat was there because he'd looked out the window a few times and it, you know, kind of growled, and we told him no, and he was okay with it. I mean, he's a live and let live kind of dog. So, I mean, he, you know, wasn't too concerned, I don't think. But at one point I took him out snowshoeing, and I brought him on a leash a ways down, and I took the leash off and hung it. So when I came back, I'd put him on the leash beforehand. Well, I think Loki knew what was going on. So he, when we were down there, he took off running, and I realized fairly quickly that he was making a beeline back up to the house. And before the lynx had shown up, he'd like to run out and grab a few bites off of this carcass, you know, when we weren't looking. So I figured he was making a beeline. I could see his tracks in the snow. And of course, he was heading full run for the carcass. Well, as I was heading back up the hill, I suddenly heard this stifled yelp, squeal. It was a weird sound. And I thought, oh boy, something's happened. And so when I got up to the house, there was Loki on the front step, more than happy to go in. and the lynx was just sitting there on its carcass, just wondering, okay, who's going to take me on next? So we figured it was lynx 1, Loki 0 at that point.
Well, I think folks need to go to timberjay.com and just take a look at these photos. What a story. That's great.
Yeah, we also have video up, so it gives you a much better idea of just watching its movements and things like that as it's feeding and doing other things. So it's worth watching those videos as well.
It's been the Border News Roundup. You can read and see more at timberjay.com. Marshall, have a great week. We'll check in next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you.
I wanna love you every day. Yes, I do. And not just for a boyfriend. Oh, I want you to marry me. And take me home to stay.
From 1965, Loving You More Every Day by Etta James from the Essential Etta James album. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is the Friday morning show. It's 7:36. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. We've got best wishes coming up next for you. And then we are hoping that you're going to be joining us on What's for Breakfast, sharing your breakfast, your morning with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can text ahead to make a reservation, 218-326-1234. Then you don't have to go through that stress, right?
Of
I'm going to call, no one's answering.
Yep.
You know, all the calls are coming in, that stuff.
You do not need any more stress.
No.
Make things easy. We would like to thank Oak Hill Assisted Living in Grand Rapids, providing personalized care in a home setting, oakhillseniors.com. And we also want to thank Clocko Brewing Company in Grand Rapids, making traditional old world styles of beer as well as modern classics for 8 years now. Their tap room is open Monday through Thursday, 3 to 8, Friday through Saturday, noon to 8, and Sundays, noon to 6. ClockoBrewing.com.
A little colder in northwestern Minnesota right now, 9 degrees in Park Rapids and Bemidji, 24 in Hibbing. Grand Rapids at 22, Brainerd reporting 18 degrees, Floodwood at 25, Monoman looks like the cold spot I'm seeing, 2 degrees right now, and Bedette has fog and 9 degrees. For the rest of the day, 25 to 30, and some snow showers moving in this afternoon, but not much accumulation, but gusty winds.
So I have no tremendous Denmark stories to share, just a normal Denmark, lots of talking.
You went
lots
for
of
Christmas
walking,
time.
Yep. Yes. Lots of drinking. I actually picked up my drinking. You can believe
that.
Wine.
Is that a good thing?
I'm starting to like wine, Heidi.
Okay.
And schnapps. It's called Aklavit or something like that. So after Christmas, the day after Christmas, 19 people get in this giant long table. And when everybody feels the need, they go skål. And you have to drink a shot of schnapps. And it was rough. It was rough.
What do you mean it was rough?
Well, I participated. Usually I don't drink. And I just felt like the need to do this. And it's a lot of shots of schnapps on the
so
day.
So is
after
it schnapps? You said aquavit? So
aquavit,
it's like gin?
Yeah, it's like, no, it's a fancy schnapps. I should know the name of it. But
okay.
It was fine. Wow. Lots of walking. Downtown Copenhagen's beautiful, but the trip back, eight and a half hours.
Yeah, how do you handle the...
I don't.
...plane? Like, there's such a mind game. If you have a long overseas flight you cannot let yourself think about how long you have to sit in that spot, I think. I have to, like, really
actively
work on myself to be like, I can't think about what time it's going to be.
Or not work on yourself. Like you said, don't think about
it.
Once you start thinking about it, it's longer than a work day. And then my butt gets sore and it's claustrophobic. And then we land and they're not ready for us. So you sit for 15 minutes on the tarmac.
But think about, I was talking to a friend about this who had gone to Thailand recently.
Oh my gosh.
And she was saying how, you know, it wasn't that long ago where we didn't have all that entertainment right in front of us.
Yeah,
you chose your own thing. Like, everybody would watch one movie. Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, that isn't that long ago,
no,
is it? I mean,
no.
And there is a lot to entertain yourself. Did you watch a lot of things?
I watched a few movies. I tried to play a few games.
Like, what did you watch?
Well, I watched, like, 6 episodes of Landman.
Oh,
and I watched movies. I was very disappointed with the movie selection.
Oh, okay.
Especially when you're getting ready to take off and you go, oh my God, they have no good movies. You know, they have like, you know, I don't know, crazy ones from the 70s. Anyway, it wasn't good. But the trip home, you lose time, you land, you got to go through customs, and you're always thinking about that 3-hour drive you got to make. So we landed about 5:30. Go through customs. Things are great. I just told Malachi this. And then the guy says, you only have one more door to go through. It's right over there on the right. So Sonia goes through the door. I've got the push cart with all the luggage. The beagle comes after me, the dog. I'm thinking, oh, my God. So, yeah. And then you start thinking. Then you start thinking, what? What did I put something in there? No.
The could, schnapps in your blood, no. Perhaps?
Anyway, they think it was the dough, not the dough. What do I want to say? When you make bread, it was like the wheat. It was the rye flour. That's what they think it was, the rye flour. But they're so unprofessional. And where you been? And then they just start chucking stuff.
All your stuff.
And then they shove it off to the side. And then they have a little tray that goes straight out and down. He pushed my big luggage right down to my feet. It was rude. But
you could have been a criminal, John. So I'm not thinking about rude.
You know me. I love dogs. I was trying to get away from me. Have you been? Have you had the dog check your luggage?
No. I've been fine.
I would assume I would be fine too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not bringing any contraband back. But anyway, the flights are hard. I can't imagine like going to Australia, where you land in San Francisco and then you live there for 2 hours and then you fly for 14. And
yeah,
I don't know how people do it.
The reacclimation into society, where it's like your body hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It is painful. You don't understand. Like it's more than tired. You can't exactly sleep. Or if you sleep, it is the hardest sleep ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a strange, that whole flying sort of thing. But it's worth it. You know,
it is worth
to have
it,
the
but,
experiences.
But if you're going to plan a trip, a long trip, you have to plan because you lose a couple of days because you're not yourself. So if you're going to go on a week's vacation, you need to make it 10 days because it affects you that much. But I digress. First world problems.
Coming up this weekend, Saturday at 2, Sunday at 3, it's She Rose Radio with Carmel Holt, amplifying female voices and music. It's a celebration of Joan Baez's 85th birthday. That is today.
Whoa.
There's an encore interview at the 2024 Newport Folk Festival, and it was a return for the 65th anniversary of both the festival and Joan's debut performance in 1969, which launched her career.
Hmm. I want to thank Lake Country Journal, a magazine showcasing the beauty, landscapes, and of people in the lakes and Lake County. The February-March issue, hard to believe, issue publishes the winners of the annual photo contest, which are also displayed at the Brainerd Lakes Regional Airport, lakecountryjournal.com.
It's time for Best Wishes. We do our best to wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary. For today, January 9th. We want to wish Sue Leto, Sue, happy 73rd to you from Grand Rapids. Our very own Mark Greeley celebrates his 73rd today. Mark, hope it's a great day. Hope Brenda's nice to you today.
Yeah.
Bob Johnson, happy 74th to you from Grand Rapids. Brianna Roberts is not 73.
Yeah,
it is her birthday today. Happy day to you, Brianna. Esher McCrosty is 17 years old. From Spring Lake. I think he's from Bemidji now. And Carol Humrickhaus is 82 years old from Baxter.
Happy 82nd. Tomorrow, Lois Quam is 79 from St. Paul. Todd Heinley is 57 from Warba. And Katie Haug is 36 years old today from Bemidji. What do you got picked out for him, Heidi? Uplifting?
Well, Jason Isbell.
Oh.
Blame. No, you're scared of me. I can see it in you. crying this whole time. Well, I've tried to open up my window and let the light come in. I step outside in the middle of the morning and in the evening.
Jason Isbell, Middle of the Morning is the name of the song off Weather Vanes. Thanks so much for tuning in at 7:48. We're looking for you to join us on What's for Breakfast. Phone lines are open right now. I think our friends out there will answer and grab you to be our guest. 218-326-1234. Got some comments coming in about your long trip to Denmark. Lisa says, long flights are hell. On a flight back from Honolulu overnight, 8 hours, the woman in the seat in front of us had her light on the whole flight. Oh, a man God. Somewhere further ahead had a runny nose, and he sniffed over and over the entire time. Adding insult to injury, there was no video screen on the American Airlines plane.
Oh, my gosh.
I kept thinking, just kill me now. You're right, John. First world problems. And then Jim is texting in. He says, my grandma came here on a ship with 5 kids sleeping in 1 bed full of hay. Quit whining.
Yeah.
And then we heard from someone who said, Aquavit, John. It's a Scandinavian drink.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. They call it the water of life, and the best stuff can only be purchased over there.
Well, it did change my life. Another thing that happens when you go on long flights is you're always within 12 feet of a crying baby.
Don't you just feel for those parents, though?
Oh, yeah, of course. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
They stand up. They're sweating. They're just, yeah. They want to make sure everybody's happy, and their kid is screaming.
I know.
Screaming.
Coming up next, we've got our daily dose of phonology, and then what's for breakfast. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe Jim would like to call and tell us about his grandma sleeping on a
bed
full of hay. Thank you for that, Jim. You made my day.
No, this is the first breakfast of the new year, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Here's John Latimer.
On today's date, January 9th, 1987, the chickadees are singing their Phoebe song. This is a couple of days before the average date, which is the 14th of January. The earliest I ever heard chickadees singing Phoebe songs were on the 16th of December in 2007. And the latest was February 3rd, 1985. The chickadees begin this song in hopes that spring will be coming along before too long. This is a song of courtship and a song of hormonal activity, which indicates that the chickadees are getting ready to separate out of the flock and form pair bonds.
If you're tall, it don't matter if you're small, it don't matter if you're blue or green or any shape at all, 'cause I'll be yours and you'll be mine to last, and we'll be friends holding fast. You don't have to be smart, you don't have to play a part.
What better thing could ever be than a kindly heart?
And I'll have yours, and you have mine to last. We'll be friends, holding fast.
see exactly what friends can be. We'll be light as balloons.
Exactly what friends can be. Sometimes they tell you the hard truth, that's for sure.
Put you in your place.
Time for What's for Breakfast on the Friday Morning Show. It's where we pull up a chair to one of our members' kitchen tables. We get to know them a little bit better. Jim, is it Aoni?
Yes, it is.
All right. Jim Aoni is joining us now. Thank you for telling John to stop whining. Sure appreciate it.
Well, I had to call in. My girlfriend always stops me because, of course, I love to talk. But
well,
but anyway, you said, oh, Jim, you better call in. And it is true. My grandmother came with five kids. One of them wasn't even a year old. And I read about how they traveled, and it's just incredible. So whenever I'm on an airplane and I've got 8-hour flight, I think of them.
Yeah. Have you had your breakfast yet?
You know, I haven't. No, I have not.
Okay.
Wow.
When do you think you'll have it, and what are you thinking?
Well, I think Arlene will make me a soft boiled egg and toast, which is I have that just about every other day, and then I eat hot cereal on the other days. And so I think it's going to be a soft-boiled egg.
Why not toast with oatmeal or whatever? I'm a little bit confused. Toast is so important in the morning, but yet you choose not to do it on the days you have hot porridge. I'm just wondering where this comes from,
that's
what
like
it means.
That's like double carbs there.
Yes, well, anyway,
is that what is that really the double carbs? You don't like it?
I love it. It's just that I can't do it because I challenged. You know, I called in a while back. I was the guy mm-hmm. who grew up in the country, and somebody asked about that. I said between the first and second grade, I doubled in size, and that's why I have to watch what I eat.
Oh, because, okay. I hear you.
So it'll be just one soft-boiled egg and a piece of toast?
That's what I do, yeah. Yeah.
It takes like a tenth of a second to eat one egg.
You know, I think when I eat one egg, when I have some protein in the morning, it just keeps me full for most of the day. I eat lunch. Sometimes I don't hardly feel like eating lunch. So it's good for me anyway.
So let's talk about Arlene making this for you. She also enjoying the soft-boiled egg and toast?
No, no.
Oh, boy.
She eats all sorts of weird stuff.
Like? Come on, help us out.
She'll eat grapes for breakfast, or in the old days, it was popcorn. I mean, she eats all kinds of strange food to me, but she likes it. So granola, different things, but she doesn't eat traditional breakfast food.
Okay. So I was that sort of answers my question. I was just going to ask if you ever make her breakfast.
I gladly would, but she doesn't really want me to. And she really often doesn't cook. She just has whatever it is she has.
Why would she not want you to? Is that a cut on your ability to make stuff, or she just doesn't want to put you out?
No, she just doesn't eat the kind of stuff. Well, I don't know. I'll have to ask her that later. Maybe it is.
Well, a lot of times What's for Breakfast is about relationships. And it's very
We have great relationship, and so don't bring food into it now. That might spoil.
Oh yeah. What about coffee? Do you both enjoy coffee?
I enjoy coffee. She does not, and I just drink coffee. I drink coffee anyway I get it. I have daughters, and of course they are into, you know, fancy coffee. And when I get that, I drink it. But mostly, I just drink black coffee. Mm.
So how did you survive the holidays? Were you able to resist reaching for a cookie every 12 minutes, or how does that work?
Oh, no, I wasn't. And before Christmas, I decided every winter, I don't know about you, but every winter I gain some weight, and I tend to lose it in the summer, and I kind of maintain, but I've always been, you know, big enough. And I decided to quit ice cream, but I replaced it with Bailey's Irish Cream.
Oh, boy. I don't know if you won or lost there.
I don't think I won, but I certainly found a new treat. So
you could put Bailey's on your ice cream, too, if you had a bad night or something, you know.
I decided that Bailey's is so thick that I put it over ice, and then I add milk about 50-50, and it's like a, just really good.
Sounds like a white Russian almost. Sounds good.
It is like a white Russian, but it reminds me a little of Ovaltine when I was a kid. It was really good.
So let's go back to these cookies, because I, you know, when I was at Christmas, I cannot, even if I'm not hungry, I have to have one of those beautifully displayed cookies or whatever, and I don't get it. I mean, I'm being honest. I gained 5 pounds over Christmas.
Yeah.
5 pounds, and you think about that. Lay out 5 pounds of butter, and you put that much weight on. I don't get it.
You know, I've lived long enough that I know that it's a cycle. And so at Christmas, I try not to overeat, but I know I will, and I know I'll grab for all those cookies. And actually, now that it's all gone, and I don't have ice cream in the refrigerator,
yeah, and
the Bailey's is nearly gone, I feel like I can be back to normal, and maybe I'll start losing a little weight. You
I
know?
Hear you. I hear you. Same here. I've already lost the 5 pounds. It doesn't take that long if you just stay focused. You know,
it's a slippery slope, though, on the like regularity of ice cream.
Yes.
You have it, you know, it takes only like what, one day for you to be like, got to have ice cream every night.
Yes.
You know,
if it's not around, and I live 10 miles from town, so it's not like I can just get up and go grab ice cream. So if it's in the house,